Welcome back to the Chinese Medicine Podcast. It's Marie Hopkinson here today, herbalist, acupuncturist, and today we're going to be talking about how to stop anxiety with food, with this one food, with this herbal food. Is it a food? Is it a medicine? Well, it's actually both, and we're going to talk about how this one herb can help you and how it's being used in classical Chinese medicine, so that's the oldest form of ancient Chinese medicine, and how you might use it in your food. Now, this is called baiher or lily bulb. Now, this is the dried version, so you can kind of hear it. It's not a shaker. But you can use this, and you can buy this fresh from many Chinese grocery stores, oriental grocery stores in the world sell it. It's a commonly used food in China to eat, but it's also a well-known herbal medicine. And I'm going to talk about how you might use it, when you might use it, and how herbalists use it as well. Something to remember about differentiating herbs and foods or medicines and foods. When a herb, like this is a herb, is used as, you know, a medicine or used as a food, it can actually be the same substance, but it's how it's intended to use it. And it's also the dosage of how it's used, and sometimes the combination of what it's put together with it. Technically, this is a herb. I'm going to put it up here so you can kind of see it. Put it up there. Right. So technically, this is a herb that can be used as either a food or as a medicine. Now, when is something like this a food? When is it a medicine? That's a good question. It could be the dosage, that the amount that's used, and the frequency in which it's used. So usually when you have something as a food, it's just a part of your diet. But if you're very intuitive with your diet and you don't really eat a lot of different kinds of things, you will notice the effects of food on your body more than the average person who consumes sort of a smorgasbord of flavors and things every day. So you can be selective with foods, using them in a kind of a medicinal way, and you'll notice the effect that things kind of have on you. So this is, when it's used as a food rather than as a medicine, it's kind of used in a dish along with other foods, because the taste has to be, you know, palatable for it. And the good thing with lily bulb is it has a very bland, almost like a nutty, bland kind of a taste. It's not bitter or, repulsive flavor. Like some Chinese herbs, you wouldn't eat them as a meal because they're very bitter and not you know, something you try to get down as a medicine, and you know, you don't sort of think, oh, I'll have a big bowl of that flavor. So baiher or lily bulb is used a lot in China in combination with things like celery. I've seen it cooked with celery. You could probably cook it with meats. It's used as in a stir fry kind of environment. So there's a few ways that you can cook with it. If you can't get it fresh, which that's obviously the preferred way, it might be frozen. It could be in the frozen aisle of your oriental grocery store. You can also buy it dried like this, and you can soak this and then cook with it. However, when you do that, you have to prepare that you're going to use it, because you need to soak this probably a day before. So what I would do is get a handful of this stuff here. Now, bear in mind, when something's dried, it's going to expand out. So don't put too much, right? Just have a little bit. Otherwise, you might make too much, especially if it's just for one person. So you want to get a little handful of it and soak it in. So just put it in a bowl with some water and let it soak. If you live in a hot environment, put it in the fridge. It's probably best to kind of do that. If it's cool, pretty cool in your house, you could probably leave it on the bench, you know, but you don't want to let things soak and ferment or something to happen if you're soaking it for a day or so. So just put it in the fridge and then you can kind of forget about it. And then rinse that water off, and the lily bulb should actually be flexible, right? Now, it'd be a bit rubbery. And then you can cook with it as if it was a fresh thing. So I'll put some ideas for recipes I'll interject them into this video, but you can just kind of Google it. Now, I've made the celery stir fry dish with the baiher and it tasted quite nice. And I'm sure there's plenty of other recipes you could use. But the point is that you're including it in your diet. Why have I decided to make this video about this? Because I'm a bit concerned sometimes with telling people to cook with Chinese herbs if it's not right for them. Like some herbs, you know, you really need a proper diagnosis to make sure you need that herb. Whereas with baiher, if you didn't need it, it wouldn't cause you any detriment if you didn't you know, need it. And you just ate it as a food. It's quite fine to just eat as a food. Now, what I mean by any detriment, I don't mean like a massive jar of it every day, too much, too much of anything. You can die from drinking too much water. So I should probably just issue that caveat there. But it, being sensible, if you just included it in your diet, you had one meal of it, right? So the worst that could happen is you just, nothing will happen, as in not, you won't help the anxiety. It won't help the mental restlessness. And I'm going to talk in this video a little bit more now about how does it do that and what's the mechanism of action, thinking of it as a herb or as a medicinal food. How does it do that? So Biher is white and it has the affinity to the lungs, right? Now, where are your lungs? In the upper part of your body. And what can happen in conditions where there's anxiety, worry, in Chinese medicine, we call it heart vexation, right? So vexation is a very old-fashioned word.
It vexes me.
Pretty Englishy kind of word.
Terribly vexed.
You know, I remember the first time I heard that word vexation was probably in Robin Hood, you know.
Something vexes thee.
I'm so vexed. And then he stabs him in the chest or something like that. It's anguish, right? It's feeling like, oh, like something's not right here. And even to the point, vexation is probably a good word to use in modern times because you can't necessarily know what it means. Like you just feel this feeling of not of restlessness, right? And that's part of the lily bulb kind of pattern, is a feeling of agitation, of restlessness. Now, this could affect you in the daytime where you just sort of, you don't feel good and you don't feel calm. So the opposite of calm at the very other end of the spectrum would be sort of really agitated and really vexed and restless and kind of, yeah, maybe moving around a lot, unable to feel calm in your mind. So not everyone who has that type of pattern is physically restless, like, but often they are. They have a lot of movement in their being. And often that is because of needing to kind of, or your body's trying to actually offset that heat that's being created. So let's just talk about the physiology. What happens? How does this happen? Like, how do we get this vexation, this restlessness? So the upper part of your body, the lungs and the heart and the pericardium, they're the three main organs that kind of sit in that, what in Chinese medicine calls the upper jiao. They do not like to dry out. Now, they don't need to be moist and damp like the bottom lower part of your body, but they don't like dryness, like complete dryness. It will cause that agitation. So if you've ever had pleurisy, like that's an inflammation of your lungs, like where when you breathe, it's like incredibly painful because you have this like coating around the lungs that, you know, it allows it to kind of glide and move as you're breathing in and out. So you don't have any notion of breathing in and out, right? You have a notion, but you don't have a pain associated with breathing in and out. If you do, there's something wrong there. And that part of that reason why you don't feel pain is because there's moisture there. There's an adequate amount of moisture. So what does Biher do? It re-establishes this moisture in this upper jiao. Now, some of this is metaphorical, right? This is how Chinese medicine is. If you've been on this channel for a while, you probably know that. But this idea of re-moistening. Now, you can actually see when you cook that lily bulb that it is very, it creates like a clear kind of liquid. And that's in the doctrine of signatures that kind of relates to the lungs. Like it's this, like the upper part of your body should be clear kind of liquids, very fine, like in TCM they call it a fine mist, you know, like a mist, a spray bottle spraying it there, not a thick and turbid kind of liquid. So your pericardium particularly gets affected by this agitation, right? So what happens is your heart's job in Chinese medicine is to be the boss, the emperor, give the orders, tell people what to do in a metaphorical sense, right? And the captain of the ship, if you like. You don't want to approach the captain like directly, the emperor directly. In Chinese medicine, they say you come to the heart through the pericardium. Now, the pericardium is like literally a sac that sits around the heart. And again, this is needs to be moist. And this idea of this agitation, which can be part of anxiety. It can be that mental restlessness, that vexation. That all can be caused by that pericardium losing its moisture, losing some of its moisture, and creating an agitation around the heart. So think of it as if let's say I'm the boss, and I can have a bit of a temper from time to time. But it's not good for me to be agitated. And if I've got my second in charge or my assistant there, and they're not creating a calm environment, they are agitated themselves, well, then eventually I'm going to get agitated. If you've ever been in a workplace like that.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
You know, you might come in and think, oh, like today could go either way, right? I could be happy or sad. I could be angry or mad, right? You're okay when you come in, but there's an environment there where everyone else in the office is already agitated. And then next thing you know, you're agitated. And that's kind of what happens here with the pericardium. If the pericardium's all agitated, eventually the heart is going to get agitated and restless as well. So we treat that first by nourishing the blood of the pericardium. And what happens when something gets less moist is it can dry out, and then it gets really vexed, right? Really angry, really restless. So in order to have good sleep, you kind of need that moisture. You need blood to kind of be there so that you can rest. It's going to sound a bit gross, but for your mind to kind of rest in that blood, to be nourished by that. And it's kind of this cool yin aspect of blood that we kind of rest in and are nourished at night, so that then we can face the day again, you know, the next day. And what happens when people have this vexation often is that heating up kind of happens. They're vexed and annoyed in the day, but they also can't sleep, and then they're even more vexed and annoyed and even more kind of agitated. One of the flavors that's kind of used to treat this, this is really a herb, going down the herbalist road, not so much the food road, is the sweet flavor. So aside from By Her, which is going to have a sweet nature to it, right, because it's bland sweet, it's not going to taste sickly sweet, but it's certainly not having any other flavors. It doesn't have a bitter flavor or something like that, right? So it's this nourishment with the sweet. Now, you would notice that yourself if you've ever had, I don't know, a breakup, something has happened, someone's broken your heart, or you're feeling angry, you know, having a chocolate sort of can sometimes relax you. I'm not saying do that, but people go towards those things to kind of calm, oh, relax, you know, sort of let's just relax here a little bit. Let's just chill out. And in herbs, we also use another herb called dardzal, which is the red date. And that's kind of used much more for the heart and the pericardium, particularly to kind of sedate that fire, to sort of calm it, and, you know, that relaxing of the agitation. So when this agitation really happens for people, you'll in herbal medicine, you'll often see By Her mixed with other herbs that cool or flush the heat out of your body. And now that's not a food kind of treatment. That's something where you'd have to go to see a herbalist for. I can't give you those formulas here, because if you don't need that, then there's no point taking it, right? You need to have the proper need for it, right? But if there's more heat going on than just this mental vexation, right, there can be heat. Where does that heat go? That heat can actually sometimes go to cause people a UTI, a urinary tract infection. It can cause people to get like warming up of their urine, or just heat coming out of their bodies in some other way, right? The heat's going to try to escape. So the heat goes upwards and can kind of, you know, for some people it causes problems with their skin or, you know, other sort of agitations going on in their body. So that's where you need to see a practitioner, right? So a Chinese herbalist would be able to help you with that, whether you need this. Now, By Her type of formulas aren't very commonly used in TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, but they are a big part of classical Chinese medicine. And I see that a lot in cases where people have mental health issues. That's their main complaint that they've come in for. Like they do have anxiety, or they do have mental restlessness or things like that. It might be something they've come in to try to treat that. But also it can happen when people just are going through a difficult time, right? You can, in my system of Chinese herbs, we have a particular pulse that can happen in their pulse, and you know that in that case the patient might not have said anything about that this is going on. And if you feel that kind of pulse, you're what it's telling you is that there's a heating up going on in that area of their body. So as a practitioner, my mind's next thinking, well, why is that heating up? Something has to have caused that to happen. So that heating up can happen because emotionally something has caused a person to kind of get that vexation, right? An emotional cause, but it could also have a food cause. It could also have an external causes in the environment. So sometimes people get a cold or a flu and then something like that happens. Now, it's not that common that you get a cold or a flu, and then you're not going to get the cold or flu and then the next day have, you know, a heart vexation happening, right? But you might have already had a predisposition to that heart vexation. And then you got a fever, and then, you know, because everyone's a little bit different and their body constitution might be different, the way that that plays out for you might have brought up something that was already kind of pre-existing. So these kinds of, this idea of using bi-her, these sort of formulas for herbalists, it's not something that would just acutely happen. It's usually something that has been there for a while and it's kind of been brewing under the surface and everything was kind of okay. And then suddenly it kind of just got worse, like something has triggered it worse for that person. These type of situations can be caused by malnourishment. When a person doesn't have good nutrition, their blood would get deficient and then over time it can heat up and kind of dry out. I used to see this a lot in the homeless people that I would help on the street. I used to run a homeless food van. So we would go mobile and go to places or set up at a spot and homeless people come to you and get free meals and blankets and whatnot. It was all run by volunteers. And you get to know people, because sometimes I was doing this two or three nights a week for like maybe 3 or 4 years I did this, right? And it was a great opportunity to help people, but it was also a really nice way to see some of these pathologies in people that you would sort of get to know. And I even did help some homeless people with Chinese herbs from time to time, because there's some patterns that happen because people are outside, they're sleeping rough, and they're literally eating pies and sausage rolls and these kinds of, you know, takeaway foods, which don't, you know, they might have calories and they make people feel full, but they don't really have that great nutritional content necessarily. On top of that, many homeless people drink a lot of alcohol or they take drugs. Not all, but many do. I did meet some sober homeless people, so I don't want to be generalizing here. But that sort of thing will dry you out even more. So if you drink a lot of alcohol, it'll just cause you to kind of get more and more. Your blood can get dry actually from that. So it heats up and can get dry. And this is over time, not just from one drink of alcohol, but, you know, from a longer period of time. So that vexation can kind of happen to people when they don't have good nutrition and they have poor sleep. Because homeless people generally can't have a good quality of sleep. There's a lot of fear involved in going to sleep when you're homeless, because you're worried about, you know, is someone going to attack me? Am I in a safe place? You don't necessarily know where you're going to sleep. Like that's, you know, that safety concern of, like, most of us don't have to contend with that on a daily basis to wonder, where am I going to go tonight? Like you have the shelter of your home. Anyway, I wasn't intending for this video to be all about the homeless, but it is a good example of how, if you have these sort of like almost like a trifecta of things going on, it's like a triple whammy to cause this kind of severe vexation where people will become very mentally disturbed. And these are the types of people where I would see them in winter. They would come to get food and they'd have nothing, hardly anything on, just a little pair of shorts. And you were thinking, man, it was really cold. We had one guy that, like, we tried to give him jackets. He wouldn't take a jacket. He's just like, no, I don't need any jackets. He's trying to take off all his clothes. And he's like saying, I'm hot. And it was really freezing. And we were all sitting there with our puffer jackets in the thing. And that restlessness and that agitation, getting angry really easily and all of that. And this is all physiologically happening. It's almost like this stuff happens out of control for that person. So that's at the very extreme. So if it's not treated or it's not addressed, then and your sleep is bad and you have poor nutrition, like, and especially you don't nourish blood. So this can happen because you just have really bad nutrition, or you don't eat enough meat or protein. But particularly in Chinese medicine, we can't get away from the idea that meat nourishes blood. And when I say meat, I just mean animal products in general. Or a person eats a lot of cold, dry and raw foods and their digestive system's like very damaged. You know? And this isn't just something that would happen one time. It's just like over years and years of this. If a person then also drinks alcohol, and that can kind of like, you know, the drinking every night or something like that, that can really dry them, deplete their, make their blood, they can get blood deficient, and then the blood that they've got can heat up. And so it kind of makes that vexation happen more. And we see this from a physiological perspective, from a Western medicine perspective, with things like alcohol, because there's clear links to people that drink regularly and depression, right? Alcohol has an association with, like, regular drinking has an association with depression. And it's this, like, effect on the pericardium, basically, that's causing that to happen. That's probably a whole nother video to do that. Anyway, the point of this video was that you can use Baihe as a food, not as a medicine, just as a food, to treat that mental restlessness before it gets to any of those things. So those other things I just mentioned, that you need to see a practitioner if that's happening. If you're taking off all your clothes because you're so hot and you're vexed and running around the streets, you know, angry, that's a full-on mental condition and that needs proper, you know, help. And those people probably are not going to be watching this video. But, you know, if you're concerned about loved ones, friends or family members, and like these conditions can have many, many names for them in Western medicine, in psychiatry. I'm not going to go through all those things here because I'm keeping this more to this classical perspective. So it doesn't really matter what the diagnosis is in Western medicine. If they've got that mental restlessness as a symptom and they've got the pulse to kind of need a Baihe type of formula, and particularly they've got heating up going on, then, you know, that's an indication that we can use these types of formulas for that. So, but also mental restlessness and heart vexation can happen to us on a daily basis, but to a very mild degree, right? You meet some people that you don't like, you didn't get along with them. You got some disappointment because you were hoping for something and it didn't happen, and you didn't have a good night's sleep, or you're worried about something, you know, and it's something that's going to pass. Well, this is Baihe. You can just have a little bit of that as a food, right? And include that in your diet and just think about that. So I hope this has been useful and helpful, this video, to you. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, make sure you do that. I want to reach more subscribers. I want to reach 10,000 subscribers soon. So that would be great if you guys can help in that way. If you've enjoyed the video, support the channel by doing that. If you'd like to support the channel even more, you can check out our sponsors in the link below. That's one of the sponsors is me, through my course that I'm doing, the 5 Element Self-Care course. You can check that out. Super good deal there. And you can learn more about Chinese medicine in a very structured, organized way. And you can also check out our sponsor, Empirical Health, mushroom balls. So you can go and check out their mushroom products, organic, and they can ship them straight out to you. And you get a discount when you use the promo code Marie to get some mushrooms in your life. So enjoy this video and find some Baihe lily bulb in your Oriental grocery store and start cooking with it and experiment with it and see if you like it, see if you like the taste of it. And you can look up recipes online to kind of cook with it. There's heaps and heaps of different recipes that are used in Asian cuisine. Awesome. Thanks for your interest in Chinese medicine.